You for tuning in to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting live from Burnaby Mountain, BC.
Anthony Frazina will be telling us a little bit about his work with the Ontario Disability Coalition. So what can you tell me about your work with the coalition?
Yeah, my work with the coalition has been longstanding. You know, I joined the coalition in 2016 with an effort to eradicate a lot of longstanding systemic barriers that people with disabilities, whether it be healthcare, whether it be community, whether it be transportation, whether it be it's just a lack of understanding. Help educate the community on the importance of inclusion and having people with disabilities in society belong.
So, that being said, what are some of the key areas that you've been working on improving inclusion?
Well, a lot of improving inclusion really stems from, you know, having the proper voice at the table. You know, we talk about things like the AODA, we talk about things like minimum standards, compliance, and barriers, to say the least. But oftentimes, you know, they're left at a minimum standard. They're left at a status quo because they often don't meet the needs of people with disabilities. They satisfy COVID and minimum standards of an AODA, like I alluded to.
So that raises an interesting point. Establishing the minimum standard doesn't necessarily mean keeping it up. I mean, enforcing the disability policies that they're putting in place. Do you ever find that sometimes once the policy is established, it kind of falls through the cracks?
100%. You know, I always say that policy 101 is one person with a disability and is one person with a disability. We need to establish accommodation plans more so in our communities, because what works for one person with disability may not work for somebody else. And we have to build to our strengths, we have to build to our abilities, and ensuring that we can alleviate and eradicate all the attitudinal barriers, the stereotypes, the stigmas that surround the lack of inclusion that persists daily for people with disabilities.
So, do you have any advice for folks out there on steps they can take to just get better educated, better informed as to what they could be doing to improve the situation?
Well, lived experience doesn't get the notoriety nor the respect that it deserves. And saying that, you know, educate yourself with people with lived experiences. You know, get people with disabilities, hire people with disabilities. You know, involve people with disabilities in all aspects of design, policy, and planning to ensure that we can get accessibility truly normalized and truly to the point where it's meant to be rather than how it looks for somebody else who doesn't identify as a member of the disability community.
So do you find ever that people are more hesitant to provide that support based on disabilities they can't readily see or process, such as mental health concerns?
Absolutely, and I think another big factor is cost. You know, accessibility is often associated with a price tag. You know, whether it be a ramp, whether it be, you know, in providing event spaces that are inclusive for people with disabilities, hiring PSW, making sure the washrooms are accessible, making sure the venue space is accessible, whether you have height-adjustable tables, whether you're serving food, whether you have dietary restrictions, whether you have allergies, does your venue have access to a bus route? Is your venue accessible to get in and get out? Because I always say that an alternate way for a person with a mobility device to get in is not a way in, it's a detour. You know, and we've got to build with everybody's voice being heard in action and assuring that that action does take place and that that action really can cultivate a normalized society.
So, you mentioned the cost. Wouldn't that seem to be sort of a long-term investment? Because eventually any business you can name is going to have someone with a disability come through their door wanting to do business, as well as the possibility that those who run it, would they themselves need it someday?
Yeah, you would hope that would be the case. Unfortunately, until people experience it or know somebody that is has that experience, you know, from a physical standpoint, you know, it tends to be overlooked. You know, and as you said, it's an investment. You know, by investing in accessibility today, it helps return your bottom line to be more beneficial at one point, but it also helps eradicate, as I alluded to earlier, you know, types of mental health or isolation to get people out of the community. You know, here in Hamilton, where I'm from, they've now, you know, they're still charging people with disabilities to access public transit. And, you know, people with disabilities live, for the most part, you know, very low means. So if we can do what we can to help people with disabilities, you know, get out, be involved in community, work, volunteer, participate in community as they see fit, then the community and the economy thrives as a result.
So, do you see any positive steps being taken?
It's going at a snail's pace. I mean, July being Disability Pride Month is something that we amplify and work that I do not only with the Ontario Disability Coalition, but I've got a brand called Above and Beyond, Bridging the Gaps in Accessibility and Inclusion. I'm an author, active speaker, and consultant, and I host a TV show. Messages need to get out there because far too often it gets lost by the wayside, and we don't necessarily think about solutions until we experience them, whether directly or indirectly.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ken.
My pleasure. In this segment of our show, Sarnia Mayor Mike Bradley will be giving us an update on the accessibility work in his city.
So what's the latest with accessibility in Sarnia?
Well, I'd say right now we're just treading water, paddling. So much other things happening as a border city. Obviously, we're dealing with the Trump tariffs and all the impacts of that. The economy is very slow right now across the country, and that in turn, everyone sort of turtles on moving forward on some of the bigger issues, in my view, that relates to accessibility and disability employment.
So what are some of the key areas you'd like to see some improvement in?
Well, I think at the government level, we can do a lot more. And it's been a constant cry for years, beyond just lip service. And employment is a huge issue, but you think about it right now, at the federal level, there's talk of mass layoffs within the federal civil service system. So it makes it harder to pitch on the accessibility employment side, simply because of that that fact people are trying to preserve jobs, not create new ones.
So in that sense, isn't it kind of short-sighted to be looking at disability employment as a secondary priority in so much as anyone can acquire a disability at any time? So some of the people making these decisions might themselves need those supports.
That's a common message I used to give when giving a luncheon speech or a dinner speech. You could leave this meeting and all of a sudden you're disabled. You're in an accident and something bad happens. And I don't think people like to think about that, or do they think about as you age, there'll be some issues that come along that will put you into that category. I mean, we estimate 30-40% of the public will have some sort of disability at some stage in their life. But it should not be a second priority. But if you go back and look at both the new Carney federal cabinet ignored disability employment and disability leadership. Queen's Park is, you know, just assign it to someone else. It doesn't have the commitment it should have, especially, it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what's happening with employment. We're going to have a huge skill shortage in Canada, and that we need to address. And one of the ways to address it is through disability employment. That has been proven over and over again. All the things that anyone's involved in this knows, more reliable employees, more dedicated employees, and committed to maybe a lifelong job. And that's the key, is that you're not giving anyone charity, you're giving them employment, but they're also giving your organization something that has great value in return.
So that being said, it would stand to reason that more workers with disabilities being in the workforce would then make use of some available businesses, thereby stimulating the economy.
Agreed. And it's the same as the accessibility physically to buildings. And we had a program in Sarnia, we started with the late David Ahn. We have just very small upgrades to existing buildings in the downtown core, for example, where they help. They're over 100 years old. They don't have the ability to maybe maneuver, but you can do simple things. And David Ahn modeled it on a program in Cashel Island, where they've got a lot of old buildings, 500, 600, 700 years old buildings, and they came up with a very simplistic program that gave people access to those buildings. And that's what we tried to do here in the downtown. And I just saw a story out of Guelph this morning, but basically they watered down an accessibility ramp. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Either it's properly done and it's accessible or it isn't. But trying to get people to look at that right now in the very... Well, the great turmoil we're having as a country is really, really difficult. It's a challenge at the local level, and it's a challenge at other levels of government.
So are there any steps the public can take to sort of offset, at least in some small way, some of the damage that's being done to the economy?
Well, I think Canadians are speaking out on the tariff issue. They're not going to the States. The border crossings here in Sarnia are down by 25%, and that's been consistent month after month. And so Canadians are sending a very clear message that they're not going to go to the U.S. They don't feel comfortable there, and they, more importantly, don't feel respected as a country. And that, you know, the individual actions are powerful. I don't know how long Canadians will sustain that. I hope they can sustain it until we get a decent deal with the Trump government on tariffs. And even then, who knows how long that deal will last. But individual Canadians, by taking those steps, have sent a clear message that they're not going to tolerate being disrespected by a country that for 200 years was our closest partner.
So we previously talked about the difficulties in getting some accessibility materials needed in terms of accessible vehicles and some of the pharmaceutical imports. It seems there's kind of a great risk for those who have an urgent need for access to drug A or vehicle B right here, right now.
That is an issue. That's an issue. I don't have an answer right now that would make the difference. I think that's part of the problem. Since the Trump administration was elected, our whole country is in chaos as it relates to government and priorities. And we've just seen that there's going to be massive layoffs at the federal level because the Carney government needs the money to pay for the defense spending that Trump's demanding. And that's the storm that we're caught up in. And it does make it hard when you've got higher level issues like this one, because they get lost in all the chatter and noise about what's going on between our two countries.
So are there any positive steps being taken?
Well, I think there's people like yourself and myself and others out there still continuing to advocate, not just accessibility to buildings, but for disability employment. And the times may be a bit tougher these days to do that, but we still keep going, and I think that's the important thing. The human spirit always responds well to crisis.
Like, thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Andy Link will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Last night, you went out drinking, and you did the right thing. You left the car at home. Thank you. But even though you slept, do you think you're okay to drive? If you drank a lot the night before, you could still be intoxicated. Only time, not a cold shower, a hot coffee, or a big meal can lower your blood alcohol concentration. Plan ahead for your night out and the next morning. You'll be helping to keep our roads safe. A message from SmartServe Ontario and Arrive Alive, Drive Sober.
Welcome back to HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, Sarnia Mayor Mike Bradley told us a little bit about the latest accessibility work in his city, and we heard about ODC from Anthony Frazina. In this segment of our show, Deidre Guy will be telling us a little bit about her insights on disability customer service. So, in your experience dealing with the disability community and with the supply chain, do you have any advice for folks when it comes to navigating customer service and some of the issues associated?
So are you referring to from the perspective of the person with the disability or from the customer service person's perspective?
From the perspective of someone with a disability.
Oh, gosh. Well, that's often not an easy one. I think that, and I don't have a visible disability, so most people wouldn't see me as someone disabled, and therefore I don't know, you know, how valid my thoughts are on that perspective, but I do know that when I'm dealing with, for example, the medical establishment, which I suppose one would argue there's customer service involved there, with my disability, I have a couple. I live with PTSD from an extreme amount of trauma as a child, and I also have developed environmental sensitivities to the point where many scents will make me feel very, very ill very, very quickly. And I find in a lot of cases those are brushed aside. You know, I know that people are quick to talk about having PTSD from their traffic, you know, the drive home from work today kind of thing. And so sometimes folks who do live with PTSD kind of bear the brunt of that because it's often misunderstood and underestimated. But I know that even in with the medical establishment, you really need to be speaking to someone who has that level of training to be able to get what you need from them. And I think that that might translate well into a general customer service role, because if the person you're talking to has not been given any knowledge or training or even understanding of the experience of those with disabilities and how they can make their life better, then you, as the person with a disability, are very likely going to encounter a circumstance where people are underestimating you, overestimating you, not seeing you as a full-on human, afraid to talk to you, talking over you. You know, there's so many things that can happen when you, especially someone with a visible disability. And so in my work with supporting entrepreneurs with disabilities, I've heard so much from them about what they refer to as the face. So they will, in their case, be working with an organization in an effort to become a subcontractor, to do work with them. And that organization will be wonderful to deal with over email and texting and all those kinds of methods of communication that don't include seeing the person with a disability. But when they encounter that first meeting, that first time they wheel into someone's office, and the person they've been chatting with the whole time sees them in person, recognizes, oh gosh, here's someone with a disability, on comes the face, as they refer to it, these folks with disabilities that I've worked with. And this is something that is really very difficult to navigate in any world when you encounter the face. So I think a face includes pity, it includes confusion, it includes all of the stigma and, you know, conclusions that people have in their minds based on what they hear and what they've learned outside of having actually just spoken to someone with a disability. That all comes to the forefront and puts a barrier in place. It automatically makes it more difficult to be dealing with someone when you have a visible disability, especially if that person doesn't have any knowledge or education or training in the field of or in the area of working with people with disabilities. So I would think from a customer service perspective, it's not something that they're comfortable with without any knowledge or training. And certainly people who have disabilities and are looking for some good, solid customer service, I would imagine that 9 times out of 10, they're not getting what they need.
So I'd imagine that some businesses are sort of short-sighted in the sense of they don't necessarily factor in that someday someone with a disability is going to cross their path.
Yes, absolutely. I've had people say to me, you know, why would I put in a $100,000 ramp for the one person in a wheelchair that's going to frequent my business? So first of all, that's clumping everybody into the one, you know, the wheelchair category, and we all know that there are many more disabilities than that. You know, recent statistics talk about 27% of the Canadian population reporting a disability, and I suspect that it's higher because in my experience, many people do not see themselves as being disabled when they're living with a disability, or they don't want to label themselves as disabled, so they wouldn't necessarily check that box in that category. So if you are someone who owns a business, someone who is, you know, in the customer service area, retail or otherwise, you are missing out on over a quarter of our population if you're not learning about and ensuring that you have a fully accessible environment, and that includes customer service. You know, people say, oh, well, my aisles are wide enough where you can get in through the door, or, you know, I've got an automated door operator on my bathroom. But there's so much more to full accessibility and inclusion than just the built environment. It's important, and people don't necessarily see that. If you have an environment where you haven't made it comfortable or even possible for folks with disabilities to get in there, and then you turn around and say, well, nobody with disabilities comes in here, well, that's because you've created that environment, and you're missing out on a whole lot of business.
So, do you have any advice for customer service folks on little steps they can take just to get better educated, better informed when it comes to these matters?
Well, I think any step you take needs to include people with disabilities. And so there are many places online in Canada. Canada has fantastic consultants who support disability education and inclusion. So find those people. It doesn't necessarily always entail a large price tag to get that information. So much of it is available online. I am part of the Canadian Accessibility Network, and we're going on our 6th year of trying to put in one spot as much disability inclusion and education as you can find. So for anyone listening who wants to learn more, you can look up Canadian Accessibility Network. And there are tons of resources there that include even just terminology, proper terminology to be used. So I would say include people with disabilities in whatever endeavor you're taking to ensure your facility, your environment is fully accessible. Legislation, because your building is legislated accessible, does not mean you've covered it all off. That's the bottom of the barrel, and from an accessibility perspective, that's the very minimum that you can do in Canada for accessibility. So you need to do better than that. Include people with disabilities. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. And one of the things that I've learned in my years working in the disability area is that even if you don't necessarily have a fully accessible environment, but you have a human being there who is empathetic and understanding, and even if they don't have the best training in the world, if they come to the person that's trying to gain access to their, whatever it is they're selling, offering their goods or services, with an open heart and an open mind and just willing to learn and able to ask questions and not be afraid of this human being simply because they aren't the same as you, that can really, really go a long way. Include people with disabilities, learn as much as you can. Make sure you disseminate that throughout your organization. Make sure it's not a fad. Make sure that you are supporting it from top down and from bottom up. Make sure that people see that you as the leader are actually taking these steps yourself personally. No more jokes, no more, you know, terminology that is not inclusive. I know it sounds very, very quote-unquote PC, but these are human beings in human rights, and they deserve respect the same as everyone else does on this planet. So those would be my initial steps. Include people with disabilities, get as much information as you can, disseminate it throughout the organization, and walk your talk.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay.
My friends, it should never be that a person with a disability should expect less in terms of customer service or navigation of services simply because they have a disability. Truth is, we're all entitled to the same level of consideration and service. But sometimes for a person with a disability, knowing their options, knowing their recourse, can be a difficult thing, thus turning into an entirely different systems navigation. But we as a society owe every member of our community our very best when it comes to providing resources, providing options, providing wisdom, that a person with a disability should be made to jump through hoops for the simplest things, like public transit. It's just ridiculous, in my opinion. When you look at something specifically labeled as an accessible cab, for example, it occurs to me, shouldn't all vehicles in public transit be made accessible, at least to some degree, by design, knowing that someday someone with a disability would want to make use of them? For if you create different classes, you have one set of vehicles for this group, one for another, it's a very slippery slope, and it breeds isolation. The fact is, people with disabilities, like anyone else in society, may want to expand their own circles, their own horizons. They have the opportunity to get from point A to point B, meet new people along the way, maybe even get to a job situation. The likelihood that they'll be able to defeat this isolation, they'll be able to find inclusion in society, becomes all the greater. And yet, there are these little systemic barriers, sometimes to the point at which people don't even think about them. I admit freely that you can't make everything 100% accessible to all groups. Come on, people. Show some effort. Show that you actually care. Take it into consideration that a person with a disability might frequent your business, might travel in your cab, might attend your school, and honestly, you might find your own thinking, your own perceptions grow in so much as you're respecting others. You're not just saying, I embrace diversity, or I want different groups of people to cross my path. You're living it. And that's the most important thing. All the platitudes in the world do not compensate for a lack of effort. And a person with a disability, they'll notice, they'll recognize that you're at least trying to be supportive. And it's not something should necessarily be shown gratitude for. It's something that's the right thing to do. Include people because you want to expand your own mind, your own horizons. Don't do it because it's an obligation or something you feel you must do in a legal sense. Inclusion is not an afterthought, my friends. It is a privilege and a responsibility of each one of us. For a person with a disability, it falls on them as well to say, I deserve to be counted. I deserve to be included. I am not better or worse than anyone in society. I just want to find my place of equality within it. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you, we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain.
Hello, this is Rabble Radio, recorded on Friday, August 8th, 2025. I'm Brianne Doyle. Rabble.ca shares with you the news of the day through a progressive lens. If you're curious about what's happening in Canadian